That is true. And they're all for the kids except the tractor tires. And those are for Gerald. Well, if you're not going to play on them, we're not going to put them in. Oh, fiddlesticks. Psalm 94, verse 10. Let's start in verse number 8. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? That's a good question. When will they be wise? He that planteth the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? And verse 10, he that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? Tonight I'd like to look at the results of refusing the knowledge of God. We've seen a lot here lately with the last couple decades of people who have just utterly rejected the idea that God even exists. They have rejected His Word. They have rejected the knowledge that is found in His Word. They have gone so far as to reject the knowledge that has been learned over past generations, just because somehow in their own finite, limited minds, they have assumed they have reached the apex of evolution. And they are the ones, as the Bible says, there is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes. We are seeing it today. They're here. So let's look at some results of having that sort of logic, the results of refusing the knowledge of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray again that you would open our eyes and our hearts. Help us not to be blinded. Help us to be attentive to your word. And most importantly, help us to be submissive to it. I pray that you would work in our midst, help us to allow it to work in our hearts. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The knowledge of God, the Bible has a whole lot to say about the knowledge of God. Of course, we saw when we looked at the fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of knowledge right there. If you deny God exists, you know, forget your chance of knowledge. You're not going to find any real knowledge. It's going to be empty and vain because you have denied the one absolute truth. And once you have no foundation, everything after that is worthless. But there are some serious results of refusing the knowledge of God. And the first ones are deception and a false sense of security. Deception and a false sense of security. Isaiah 45 and verse 20. If you'll turn there, Isaiah 45:20. Being deceived. God says here in verse 20, assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. When you reject the truth, as Paul said in Hebrews, what hope do you have left? You're left hopeless. Therefore, you've got to come up with something to ease your conscience. So you are reduced to this. You are reduced to making something and then praying to it. You are reduced to trusting in something that you know cannot save you, even if it wanted to. That may not be the little carved images. It may not be the images of stone or made out of silver. But a whole lot of people trust in silver today. A whole lot of people are trusting in their bank accounts. A whole lot of people are trusting in their savings. A whole lot of people are trusting other people. A whole lot of people are trusting anything and everything except the one thing that will save them. They're not trusting God. Therefore, they are reduced to trusting something they know cannot save them. They've been deceived. Completely deceived. Isaiah 44, if you go over there, God talks about this. Starting in verse 9, He says, they that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit. And they are their own witnesses. They see not nor know that they may be ashamed. Who hath formed a god or molten a graven image that is profitable for nothing? And he goes on to go through the whole process of how these people spend all their time and their effort, in fact, going without food and water to try to make this little god that they then bow down to and pray to. Remember the book of Judges? We have Micah, who had his house full of gods. And when the Danites came to go move to another section, they saw the gods and they said, hey, this is great, let's take them. They stole his gods and went to go to their land. Micah went out and chased them. And they turned around and said, what are you chasing us for? And he said, I came to rescue my gods that you stole. Now, obviously he's not thinking, because he would have heard himself and say, you dummy. That's one of the dumbest things you've ever said. I have to rescue my God that I'm trusting to save me? That doesn't make sense. It made sense to him. Why? Because You reject the knowledge of God. You refuse to accept the truth, therefore you have to make up something. Nature abhors a vacuum. That applies to the spiritual realm too. If you will not accept God, if you reject the clear knowledge of God and His Word, you've got to replace it with something. And it's going to be far inferior. And you'll believe it. Deceit. Refusing the knowledge of God results in deceit. Not only that, but Job 21, it also results in a false sense of security. Job describes this in chapter 21, beginning in verse 7. He says, "Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, are mighty in power? Their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. Their bull gendereth and faileth not. Their cow calveth and casteth not her calf. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They take the timbrel and harp, and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, Depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways." What is the Almighty that we should serve Him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto Him? That's what you're reduced to. Once you start, as the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Nothing wrong with it. I got away with it this week. I'll get away with it next week. Big deal. I'm fine. I don't need it. False sense of security leads to arrogance, leads to pride. And that is what brought Lucifer down. Did it not? That's an abomination before God. Pride. This is what it leads to. I don't need God. And that's what we're seeing today. We don't need God. We have come to the place where we don't need God anymore. That was fine years ago because in man's evolutionary process, he needed religion to cope with his problems at the time. But now, we have arisen beyond that. And it's time to break forth into bold, new, daring frontiers. Boldly go where no man has gone before. That's what we're going to do because we are man. Yeah, I'm sure God's impressed. You know, I stopped and looked at the Humanist Association website the other day, and I read their manifesto, their creed that they believe. It's changed three times since 1933. So, a solid foundation there. But anyway, I read that, and that is very fascinating, at the same time very scary, because these people, you need to take seriously. They believe what they believe. What do they believe? Oh, they believe that man is it. There is no God. Science has proven there is no God. Oh, yes. We can conclusively prove God does not exist, therefore man is his own savior. He cannot expect to get help from outside the supernatural. Man is his savior. Because why? Science has proven it. Using science to measure the existence of God is about like using a tire gauge to measure atmospheric pressure. You hold up your tire gauge in the air and you look at it and you say, the little thingy didn't move. Obviously, air does not exist. Okay, wait a minute. How do you say air does not exist? Well, the little thingy didn't move. If the little thingy moves, that means there's air going in it. And there's no little thingy didn't move, so there's no air going in it. Obviously, there's no air. Well, you can't just use a tire gauge because it's not designed for that. I know what I'm doing, thank you. I am intelligent. I have been educated. I know. And the little thingy cannot move. There is no air. Well, the fact that you're breathing, sir, would tend to prove otherwise. And you know what their reaction is? Infidel! How dare you desecrate the little thingy? We use the little thingy. And you can sit there and say your royal thingy is worthless when it comes to atmospheric pressure. It won't matter. And they will say, have him forth and executed because he has desecrated the thingy. Now that's a ridiculous example, but sadly, it's very true. You need to do some research on what humanists believe. That is how they come to their conclusion. We don't need God because we use science. This is where you end up when you reject the knowledge of God. Man, they are so arrogant. They go in there and say, man has conquered his environment. I don't recall any of the humanist leaders standing on the levees of New Orleans when Katrina came in saying, stop in the name of humanity. Did you? You didn't see any back in 1980 on the side of Mount St. Helens when it totally blew apart, did you? I don't think man has got to the place where he has control of his environment. Man has no say in the environment. And that's just the truth. You can put out all the carbon emissions you want. It ain't going to change anything. And that's another whole issue itself. Deception. False sense of security. Dangerous place to be. All because you reject the knowledge of God. The next thing leads right into it. There's a hopeless blindness. Hopeless blindness. It's sad to see these people function and think. It is sad to watch their logic because it's not logic. Because it is so simple if they would just open their eyes and see the truth and accept reality. But they refuse. And they come to a point where they can't see reality anymore. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 3. Isaiah 1, verse 3. Starting verse 2. God says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider." And that is true today. The animals are smarter than people. Some people. They are. They are smarter than people. Because people have rejected God's word. They have rejected the knowledge of God. They don't want to know God. They refuse to believe He exists. And therefore, there are a lot of animals that are smarter. I told you in the church the one day I saw another PBS special on whales and dolphins. And the people were going on about how if we could just be smart enough to understand what the whales are trying to tell us. If we could just communicate with the dolphins, they're trying to tell us something. And if we could just, we're so dumb, we could know what they say. Well, I can tell you what they're saying. They're saying, you people are dumb. We did not evolve, and if we did, I'm not claiming you as my descendant. Because you're dumb. God created us. He put us in the ocean.
Amen.
Hopeless blindness. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 7. Again, Isaiah 44 comes to mind. This blindness to the truth. No, we have to make our own gods. We have to pray to these gods that we made with our own hands and fashion, that we have to carry around from place to place, that we have to keep clean. Foolish. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 7. "Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed time." Anybody seen a heron before? A red blue heron, you know what I'm talking about, the big 4 foot long, you know, blue birds all around the rivers. They are the ugliest things. You know, outside of some monkeys, they're some of the ugliest birds that exist. And yet, those birds are smarter than some of these birds. They are. They have more sense. "So the stork in heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord." Blindness. Cannot see it. Romans chapter 1 is a classic passage on this. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Romans 1, starting in verse 19. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever." And verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge," they did not prove He didn't exist, they just didn't want to know Him. They know He exists deep down. They just refuse to admit it. You go back to the founders of this humanist line of thought, you will see that every single one of them had a rabid, vile hatred of anything that had to do with God and His Word. Study their backgrounds. Read it. It's there. They're not enlightened people. They're not objective thinkers. They hate God. That is it. They hate God. Period.
This business that we have to remove religion and make a clean environment so everyone can learn without any bias is a bunch of baloney. All it is an excuse to remove the right values and replace them with their values. That is all that has happened. Objective. That's ridiculous. You can't be, nobody is objective. It's impossible to be objective. You have a viewpoint. You will have a viewpoint. You can try, but you'll have a viewpoint. You cannot make the situation sterile where everyone just gets a viewpoint on their own. That's not going to happen. That's why it is vital that we have the right standpoints, the standards, the right viewpoint from God's Word. We've been told that time and time again in the Bible. We are in darkness. We are spiritually dead. We have no compass. We have got to have something to guide us. We have got to have something to form us and conform us to the image of God's Son, to guide us in the right way, to lighten our path, because if we don't, we will fall flat on our face. And that is what is happening today. Why? Because you reject the knowledge of God. You don't want to know Him. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. Verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, yes, walking after their own lusts, oh yes, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Willingly, ignorance. Refuse to accept the evidence. Or take the evidence and twist it. That is what is happening today. There is no more debate on their side. It's over in their minds. They will not accept anything except what they want to think. Now, I was reading their creed. Oh, it sounds very good. The title says, the website for humanistic and free thinkers. Free thinkers. Okay. Free thinkers. Now, I think the meaning of a free thinker is you can think what you want to without repercussions. Right? Correct? Okay. So, that means that I should be able to think God exists and we are accountable to Him and we need to live our lives according to His Word. And these people won't have a problem with that if they're free thinkers. I wonder if they'll have a problem with that. Oh, yes, they will. They don't say that. They say, we believe in a society where all views are tolerated, even those who may not be in agreement with ours. So we tolerate all views, even if they're in disagreement with ours. But they better be in agreement with ours. That's what that means. Toleration is another baloney. They're not tolerant. They're the most intolerant bunch that's ever lived. They will only tolerate those who submit to their view. That is all they will do. They will not tolerate you or me. That time's gone. It's coming down to the end. As I've said before, if you really want to follow Jesus, it's going to cost you today. These people are gaining power, as God said they would. They're going to make it hard. They're going to make it difficult. They already are. You better know what you believe. You better know. Hopeless blindness. The next one, confusion. My, confusion. James chapter 3. Remember when God comes on the scene in the book of Job after Elihu has been running his mouth for I don't know how many chapters? James chapter 3. But in Job, God comes on the scene, and what's the first thing He says? Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? You know, I learned a long time ago, if you don't know what you're talking about, be quiet. If you don't know what you're talking about, just be quiet. Don't sit there on TV and try to explain to me my religion when you have absolutely no clue what this book says and don't want to know. If you don't know what you're talking about, you're better off to just sit there and don't say anything. Don't be like Elihu. All that happens, confusion. And that is exactly one of the main tactics that these people have been using for decades now. Confusion. When you start answering with logic, what happens? Insults.
false facts, twisting, changing the subject, moving from here to there. That's all they do. Confusion. It's nothing but confusion. That's where that verse in Proverbs comes in. You need to remember, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like unto him. Because you're not going to get anywhere. You will not convince these people. They're hopelessly blind. They've chosen this. They don't want the truth. They won't take it. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. Why? Because he doesn't want it. He wants to put on the show he's intelligent, he's educated, and he's looking, and he's objective. No, he's not. He doesn't want wisdom. He wants what he thinks. And that's where it stops. James chapter 3, look at verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. These people who claim to be about peace are not about peace. They are about confusion and strife. That's what they want to get their goal. Confusion. Luke chapter 11, verse 52. How do I know what's right? How do I know what's wrong? You're going to have to go with God's Word. You've got to go with God's Word. There's nothing else left for you. If you're still relying on the news channels to get your information, oh dear, no. That's not information, that's propaganda. That's all that is. It is straight out propaganda. I'm not making it up either. That's the truth. How many times has just one network been caught editing tape to try to present their own philosophy or viewpoint of the situation before even the facts are known? And that's just one time when they got caught. Do not be so naive to think that that's the only time. It's been going on for a long time too. You need to go here. Right here. This is where you need to get your facts. It is the only safe place left. Luke 11, verse 52. Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. That is one of the main things they did to screw up this country with the judicial system, is just overwhelm it with confusion. Any spill coffee in your lap? Sue. Do this, sue. Do that, sue. You try to do this, we'll sue you. We do this. We're going to take it to court. Anything Congress passes we don't like, we'll take it to court. Why? Because the court's their best friend. You study the Founding Fathers, and they made it very clear they were very concerned about that branch of government, the judicial. Why? Because if you've got the wrong man in power in the executive, he's the one who appoints the judicial. Yeah. Here we are. There's been a few wrong men since then. And we're reaping the consequences now. Confusion. That's what they do. The next thing. Not only that, but refusing the knowledge of God results in corruption and filth. I believe there can be a few amens on that. Psalm 14, verses 1 through 4. Psalm 14, verses 1 through 4. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? Filth. That's a pretty good way to sum up what we've got today. Filth. And here we have just, again, our Supreme Court has ruled with the broadcasters that there will be no more fines for the swearing, the vulgarity, and the nudity. From the Supreme Court. No place else to go. That's broadcast television. This is what happens. This is what you get when you want to sterilize the environment. This is what you get when you want to, quote, separate religion from the state. You get filth. You get corruption. You get dirt. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 22. who are my people is foolish. Why? They have not known me. They are sottish children. They have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. They have no knowledge. Just this week, 12-year-old on a bus insulting a 68-year-old woman, and no one on the bus would stand up and stop it? Those of you over 50, if you were on the bus when you were in school and you said one word to a 68-year-old woman on the bus, what would the bus driver do? After he beat the snot out of you, probably. Yes. Not today. Not today. Oh, someone did film it with the cell phone so they could get it on the video. But to help her? No. 12-year-olds. Verse comes to mind, my people are led by children. Now, you wanted to follow the free thinkers, you wanted to follow the people who thought man was the pinnacle, and you wanted to disregard what the Bible said about raising kids? There you go. There you go. This isn't me talking. God's Word makes it very clear. You train up a child in the way he should go, not the way he wants to go. He wants to go the wrong way. You've got to train him the right way. You've got to have this book. He's got to have the knowledge of God, or they'll have nothing. Corruption in Hosea 4, verses 1 and 2. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing, and lying, and killing, and stealing, lying and killing, fast and furious. That is our government. You know, land of the free, the home of the brave. Corruption at the highest levels. Lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. And yes, verse 3, therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish. It is a sad, sad state when you refuse the knowledge of God. This is it. This is the fruit of it. This is what happens. You can't have a different mindset and expect it to go okay. This is what happens. Choices have consequences. The next one, captivity. Isaiah 5, verse 13. Isaiah 5 and verse 13. Free. We need freedom. Freedom from religion. Isaiah 5, verse 13. Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. You refuse to acknowledge God, you will serve sin. You were not created to rule, you were created to serve. And you will serve something. And if it will not be God, it will be sin. Amen. 2 Corinthians 10:5. What did Paul say there? Bringing every thought into captivity, knowledge of Jesus Christ, right? That means those are two choices. You will either submit to Christ, which is good for you, or you will refuse and reject that knowledge, and you will submit to sin by default. That's what we have done as a nation, and we are reaping the results. Slavery. We don't lend to people anymore. They lend to us. In fact, they lend to us as fast as we can get them to lend to us, just to keep functioning. That won't last for very long. The borrower is servant to the lender. God told this to Israel way back in Deuteronomy. You know how it went. He warned them, you don't follow me, you're going to end up being the tail instead of the head. You're going to be the one that's borrowing from other nations. They're the ones who are going to have the say in how you live and what you do. We're starting to see it now. Captivity. Captivity. And not that only. Captivity to personal sin. You reject God, you indulge your sin, you live for lust, you become a slave to it. That's no fun. There's no freedom there. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And the truth can only be found in God's Word. But if you've rejected it, you have nothing. Captivity. And the last one is outright destruction. Proverbs chapter 1. We know Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The solution is so simple, and yet we refuse to acknowledge it. Proverbs 1, verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and you refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Destruction. There, we leave God with no other choice, because we've chosen this. This is the seriousness of rejecting what God's Word has to say, not only by our nation and our government leaders, but individually. What area of God's Word are you still in defiant rebellion against Him in? You still think that somehow you know better. You still think that your intellect has it all figured out better than God's Word does. Maybe it's with finances. Maybe it is with raising children. Maybe it's with dealing with other people. Maybe it's at work. I don't know what it is. But whatever it is, you better heed God's warning. We just read it in Proverbs 1. Do not reject the knowledge of God. Do not think you know more than He does. But how much more do you need to see? How much more of the fruit from this do we have to experience before we wake up and realize this is the wrong way to go? We need to just get rid of this and go with this. I'm not saying blindly follow any leader who claims to be Christian. I'm saying we follow Almighty God. We follow His perfect Word. You don't have to question an order from God. It's good. You don't have to question the knowledge from God. It's good. When you start questioning God's knowledge, then you become a skeptic, and then you become a humanist, and then you become destroyed. What hope do they have to offer? Mankind can make this world a place worth living in? He's had 6,000 years to try it. Where are we? All He needs is technology. We've had technology. Where are we? We just use the technology to corrupt ourselves even more. Well, now we're on a global scale, and we have the global vision, and we can all come together as one. That has never happened and never will. Yeah, go sit down with China and negotiate. Sit down with Russia and negotiate. I'm sure that's all he's concerned about, is the goodwill of the planet. None of these things will work, because they are against God. You reject God, you refuse the knowledge of God, you choose destruction. And the same can be said for those who know Christ but are refusing to submit to Him in some area. It's all or nothing with God. Is your all on the altar? Everything submitted to the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought. Go over to 2 Corinthians 10. Let's read it. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. God said it. Casting down imaginations. Anything that's not true is imagined. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Can we honestly say that about our Christian lives today? Every thought, every action, every philosophy, every area of my life, has it been submitted to God completely? Or am I maybe hanging on to something that I need to let go of? Don't rebel against the knowledge of God in anything. There is no area too small when it comes to life. There is no area too small when it comes to God's Word. Submit to God. Accept His Word. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. There is no other. You can't have two opposing beliefs and expect the same end up at the same location. You can't have two opposing beliefs and expect them to be the same truth. There's only one, and it's here. If there's anything in my life that doesn't line up with what this book says, then I'm rejecting and refusing the knowledge of God. And this is what I have to look forward to. I don't want that.
I don't want that. I want God to be pleased with me. I want every thought to be brought into captivity to Christ. I want every area of my life to be submitted to Him. Because without that, I don't have life. Without that, I don't have the peace that mankind says they're seeking for. It's here. Complete submission to Christ. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. The knowledge of God has been given to us freely in His Word. It was given for us to help us for our good. And so many times we despise it. We look at it and say, oh, that's outdated. No, that's not going to work. That doesn't make sense. I know better. I'll follow so and so. What he says sounds good. What she says sounds good. No. It sounds good, and that's as far as it goes. What is good? God's Word. You know, in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, Hezekiah says he encouraged the priests of the Lord who taught the people the good knowledge of the Lord. Oh, God is good. And so is His knowledge. Why would you reject it? Don't refuse the knowledge of God. Father in heaven, I pray You'd work in our invitation time. Help us to be submissive to Your Word. Help us not to refuse the knowledge of Your Word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together. Turn to page 327. Page 327. Jesus is tenderly calling. Maybe you're here with us and you don't know Christ as your Savior. You can't know God without that. You need that.